Can you see the screen now?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes,
very
we can.
Much. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Prof, can you do 1 minute? I'm sorry, my link went off. I'm okay. So sorry about that. Just 2 things. Please speak with the translators in mind.
Okay.
Please speak with the translators in mind. That's very important. I had thought that we take some 2-3 minutes just to give them a little break before you go into your session, so that they can take a cup of water or something. But I think we can go. But just bear them in mind. Speak at their pace. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Father, we thank you for what you have proposed to do with us. Thank you, Lord, for the devotion we just had, oh God. Thank you, God, for the challenges. Thank you, God, for the direction you are giving unto us. Help us, O Lord God, not just to be hearer, but the doer of your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now I'm talking on principles, process, and practice of transformational discipleship. Now, the question I want to ask is, what could be the root cause of spiritual decline in the global church? We all know there's a decline, but what could be the cause, the root cause of the decline? We notice the observation of the 20th century church pursuit of the Great Commission. So that's the 20th century. We are in the 21st century now. But this was the emphasis then, okay? But I'm not going to go into that. But the issue is that this is the Great Commission given to us. When Jesus came and spoke to his disciples, saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Like our daddy did yesterday, I want to do, this is New King James Version, a little insight into that Great Commission as revealed by the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 19. Now in verse 18, we saw the promise of his power, where he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That is it, that the power is available. And then in verse 20, he also gave assurance of his abiding presence, that I am there. I'll be there with you to the end of the age. And that is very comforting. That this assignment I'm giving to you, you are not doing it alone. You are not doing it by your own power. You are not even alone in carrying out the assignment. I am there for you. And my power is available. Thank God for the devotion that talk of the need for the Holy Spirit to do the work of the transformational discipleship. That's the same thing the master is saying here. I have the power that I'm going to give you to do the work. And beside that, I am there. I'm backing you up. My presence is there. You are not alone. But between the power and the presence in that Matthew, is the divine purpose, which is the responsibility of the church, or the goal the church is to carry out with respect to the assignment given to the church, and that is to make disciples of all the nations. I've already talked about the goal yesterday, the going, evangelism, soul winning. It is the responsibility of every disciple to be involved in the business of bringing souls into the kingdom. Fortunately, that was the first assignment given. He said, go. Again, Adadi said, it's not general overseer. It's about going. That's a key responsibility. We can't afford to fail. Then he talked about baptizing them. That is bringing them. Bring them after the souls have been won. Let's bring them into the fellowship of believers. Let us all help them. But now that they have come into our midst, what are we to do? Let's teach them to observe. Now, I'll say a little thing about the teaching here. You see, the general assumption has been that teaching is a very familiar and common activity in every local church. Yes, but we should investigate what really goes on as teaching in churches. You'll be amazed. We do not have the time to do all this now. But we have seen that in going, we do mission evangelism, we win souls, we bring them into the fellowship of believers, and then the church will grow. And then we begin to plant more churches. But when it comes to teaching, as the master expects it, we seem to be failing, and we have discovered that that is the reason for the decline in spiritual growth. Okay, so if you are to interpret the teaching as shown by the master himself, what he has in mind, today, the 21st century church must give an accurate interpretation to the third action step in the Great Commission, just as the 20th century church did for the first and second action step, that is the going and then the church planting. So what does it mean? He said, to observe all things I have commanded you. Observe. To observe is to do all things. In other words, we are to do it the way he taught them to become his disciple. In John 8:31, the master said to those disciples, to those believers who believe in him, that they should continue in my word. The word is continuing. We should continue in the word of God. In other words, it is in doing the word of God, as we continue in the word of God, that we become disciples. Because it said, you shall know the truth, which is the word of God, and that truth will set you free, will liberate you from whatever thing that hindered you from living the life of Christ. So when you continue in the word of God, you understand the word of God. The word of God is spirit and they are life. This word of God gives life. And then it becomes spirit. And that has the power to then transform. And so it talked about be transformed. Because in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, he called those fishermen. They were fishermen. They were ordinary people, but who were going about their daily work. Ordinary. I mean, the drag of the society, you will say. But when he saw them, he said, now you are a fisherman. If you follow me, I will transform you from being fisher of fish to fisher of men. That's a change. I will change you. I'm talking of, I will change your mindset. I will change your outlook. I will change what you know to do to a new thing. Yes, you know how to catch fish, but now I want you to begin to catch men for the kingdom of God. So when you put all this together, that is what transformational discipleship seeks to achieve. That is a change, bringing a change into individual. And it has to do with observing what the Lord has taught us. Okay, so we say that discipleship is necessary. And to grow spiritually does not happen by chance. we need to explain that. It does not happen by chance. So the potential to become a son of God or conform to the lifestyle of our Lord Jesus Christ comes into us right at the point we truly become born again. That is the truth. Because he said, as many as receive him, he gave them the power to become sons and daughters of God, even as many that believe in his name. That is John chapter 1, verse 12. So the potential to become is given. But then it remains dormant in a believer until he or she begin to put it into practical manifestation, which is what we had in the devotion. It's not enough to just hear it. It's not about head knowledge. There's a lot of people that have it on their head, but they need for us to begin to move it from the head to our hearts. And as it is in our hearts, then it begins to work on our mind, on our will, on our emotion. And that's how things happen. And so the process of growing to become like Jesus is discipleship. So to be transformed is required. So before he went to heaven, he commanded that the church should make disciples for him. And what is this discipleship? A disciple is a believer in Christ. A believer. So the person must first of all be a believer in Jesus Christ. And that is when we can begin to talk of discipleship, is a believer in Christ. And there's a steadfast desire. There's desire to know him. That is to acquire knowledge of him and to grow into his lifestyle as much as possible. So we still have to talk about the knowledge, and that is the knowledge of the Word of God. The knowledge of the Word of God. And after we have gotten this knowledge of the Word of God, we need to put this word we have had into practice. And that's how we can grow into his lifestyle as much as possible. I thank God for the devotion. The Word of God is key. So discipleship then is a systematic process of being taught and learning and practicing what we should become in Christ Jesus. So as a matter of fact, disciples are called, they are regarded as pupil, a learner. So we are to be lifelong learner, to learn about our master and to practice what we learn about him. So it is this means by which we should intentionally grow. Again, thank God for the devotion. The word intentional, we'll talk a little bit about that later. Intentionally grow to become genuine disciple of Christ. But then we should know the purpose, the principle, the process, and the practice, or even the product of discipleship. Let's look at some basic facts about discipleship. 14, it comes with a clear purpose. We must have a clear purpose why we are doing it. Then it must be guided by reasonable principles. Where then, again, we're going to adopt a feasible procedure and then having a clear idea of what the product should be. I think we'll talk more on the products tomorrow. Now, what is the purpose? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, is that we present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Jesus is coming back for the church without spot, without wrinkle. So our effort as leader is that everyone, whether two or three, five, six people in my group, and again, you see, the danger we have now is we are concerned about the size, the mega. We're talking of mega churches. But Jesus is not so much concerned about the size of our congregation. He's concerned with every man. That this man, one or two of these people that by chance come across me, that happen to be my disciple, I should make effort to make sure that they become mature in Christ Jesus. And we should do this to help them attain the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14, that they must, that should be our effort, our aim, that everyone must attain the prize of the high calling of Jesus. And it requires that every believer must conform to the image of Jesus, because Jesus is the model, is the model, is the eternal model, is the pattern son, is the example. It is not my general overseer that is my example, but Jesus. But if my general overseer is living the life of Jesus, then like Paul, he can say, follow my example as I'm following the example of Christ. If my overseer is following the example of Jesus, then I have every reason to follow him. Otherwise, Jesus is my eternal model. Everything I do to conform. That's why I say, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter, we should look up unto him to become like him. Why? Because we should make effort to purify ourselves, even as he is pure. Therefore, my desire should be, oh, Jesus is pure. Jesus is holy. It is my responsibility as an individual to say, I will purify myself. And the Bible says, oh, sanctify them by the word. Your word is true. So it's the word of God then that have the ability to cleanse us, to purify us. So it is my responsibility to expose myself to the word of God. And that way, as leader, we should do that, expose them to the word of God, plant them by the rivers of living water, plant them by that river. That way, I'm bearing believers who are fit for the rapture. So that's then the principle that should guide this program. We have principle of new birth. There are five principles of new birth, of biblical content, of holism, spiritual maturity, and of time. Remember, I'm talking about the principle, the process, and the practice. Now, principle number one, talk about new birth. Only the genuinely born again can be disciple. I think it's clear, because a person can only be disciple after he or she has become genuinely born again through a living faith in Christ Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. But you will agree with me that many people claim to be born again, but the truth is that not all of them are. So we must be able to know and ensure, ascertain the genuineness of their claim. That's principle number one. Principle number two, talk about the fact that the Holy Scripture is the only legitimate source for any transformational or apostolic style discipleship. The Word of God, the Word of God is the only legitimate source. There's no other source of content for transformational discipleship other than the written word of God, the Bible. That's why in 1 Peter 2:2 say, oh, as newly born, desire the sincere milk of the word of God, because by that you will grow. Principle number three, I'm mindful of my time, but I'm also careful about the translators. So maybe our moderator will please help us so that maybe a few more time, because I have to carry the people along. So the principle number three is that of holism. That is, only by teaching the whole counsel of God can believer grow up in all things into him who is the head. The whole counsel of God. That's what we talk about, holism. It takes nothing less than teaching the whole counsel. The whole counsel. Because in Acts 20:27, Paul was saying, I have not shunned away from telling you the whole counsel of God. I'm trying to open up to you the whole mind of God, what God has in mind, what God has in the plan of God. I'm trying to open you up to it. So we have to teach our people the whole counsel of God, because no church of ministry that holds a strong doctrinal bias can produce genuine disciple of Christ. Because some churches will say they are called to faith. So faith that can get physical things from God, that's all they are called to do. Not in terms of their faith. They are talking of faith. Others say, oh, we are called to holiness. Every other thing is secondary. No. We have to teach, as we teach faith, we also teach holiness. As we teach purity, we also teach righteousness. As we teach power, we also teach prosperity. So we're talking about the whole counsel of God must be taught in our discipleship effort. That's principle number three. Principle number four, talk about the spiritual maturity. Why? Because the ultimate and incontrovertible goal of any genuine discipleship is to bring believer to spiritual maturity in Christ. Why? Because the unique and exclusive goal of any genuine discipleship is to grow believers to spiritual maturity in Christ Jesus. That's what we saw in Colossians 1:28, that we must present every man perfect, mature in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:13-16 talk about that we all come to the unity of the faith, maturity. Okay? Principle number five, there is a time frame within which the discipleship package is expected to achieve its defined goal. If I'm exposing these people to a particular package, I expect that within a particular, I have to begin to see changes. If no change is seen in them, that means something is wrong with our program. So, like in Acts 11:26, we saw Barnabas and Saul went to Antioch. Bible says, for a space of one whole year, something happened to those believers. The unbeliever saw them. It was the unbeliever that saw them and gave them the name Christian, that they are Christ-like. That means that within the 1 year of exposing them to the word of God, a definite change took place. So the same thing, Acts 20:31, Paul talked about, I say, for a space of 3 years, I was among you, teaching you the whole counsel. So there's a time frame. Okay, so that takes us to the process of discipleship. It's not just an event. It is the process of facilitating the believer's continuous and incremental development of the characteristics or lifestyle of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's spiritual growth. Remember, I talked about spiritual maturity, the principle number four. That is the essence of discipleship. Something must happen from the point of new birth, as you can see. From the point of new birth here, something must happen, and that's discipleship. This new birth will begin at the point where they say, I'm committing my life to Jesus. And then this individual is then exposed to this discipleship program. And what you see is the person, the focus is on Jesus. How we can make this new person who is a believer to become a disciple of Jesus, to bear the image, to conform to the image of Jesus. And it must, anything we are doing must be member focused. That is what you can do to benefit this member so that it can also be member benefit oriented. Oh my God, that everything I'm doing is not about me as a discipler, but it's about the disciple, how they can be blessed of God. So you can see it's a lifelong thing. That's another principle we need to know. It's a lifelong thing from the point a person becomes really born again and you continue like that. We saw this man called Nansen, about calling an old disciple. Even at that point, he's still in the faith. Thank God we have an example. Our dad is there. These have been in the Lord in the 70s. They are still in the Lord. And they have not stopped being disciples. Beloved, it's a lifelong thing. And from that new birth until we go to the ultimate maturity, when we embrace the master, when we come to the feet of the master at the end of our sojourn on earth. So that's what we mean. Okay? So if we want to conceptualize spiritual growth, we can see that from new birth here, this person begins to put on the image of Jesus in increasing measure, and begin to have the Christ-likeness. That is spiritual growth. That is what discipleship should accomplish in us. That's what God have in mind for this. Okay. So, and then there should be some point in what we call spiritual transformation. Know that believers are transformed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Believers are transformed from glory to glory. Excuse me. So, if we visualize this spiritually, you see that here, this is the point of new birth. Excuse me. New birth, here, the Bible says, as many as receive him, we're talking of the process now, as many as receive him, he gave them the power. The word power here has to do with exousia, the privilege, the opportunity, advantage, okay, to become the sons of God, and as many as believe. Then 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, as many, if anyone be in Christ, is a new creature. All things must pass away. Behold, all shall become new. So it means from this point of new birth, I should begin to experience changes. Why? Because Jesus has come into my heart. Has come into my life. And because of that, I am no longer what I used to be. So I used to be old creature, but now I'm a new creature. That is why we talk about point in spiritual transformation. Remember, transformation is about change. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Because at this point, Jesus has come into my heart. Okay? And so I become a new creature. But I don't stop there. The Bible made us to know that as we get to a point where we call acknowledgeable level of Christ-likeness, that people will begin to see. I give an example of Acts 11:26. After 1 year of being exposed to the truth of the word of God, 1 year of being exposed to the truth of the word of God, see what happened. The unbelievers, they saw them. Then they acknowledged that these are Christ-like. That after 1 year of being in the faith, can people see Jesus? The attributes, the nature, the character, the nature, the image, the things, the characteristic of Jesus, can it be seen in us? That is the point. And so that's why in Matthew 5 says, Bible said, let your light so shine before men that they will see it. And what will happen? Then they will give glory to God. So they will acknowledge that truly God, Christ Jesus, is in you. So this point is very important, that people begin to see Jesus, begin to see Jesus in you. Without you even opening your mouth to say, I'm a child of God, people should be able to say, there's something about this person. He is a child of God. And then, but you don't stop at that point. We talk about full age maturity. Here we talk about Barnabas, was a good man, full of faith and of the Spirit of God. Can you see? That's what the Bible is saying. He has come to a point of full age maturity. And then in Hebrew 5, the Bible says, who by reason of use have learned to discern. So these ones have learned to use the word of God. And by so doing, they have been able to discern between good and bad. This is what we call full age maturity. God has in mind that we should get to this point. And from that, we talk about ultimate maturity. Look at Philippians 3:10. Paul was talking about, I'm doing all I'm doing is that I may know him. This was Paul after people said, history said that after 30 years of being in the faith, was still saying that I may know him. That I may know him. The power of his resurrection, that we conform to his image, to his death. So that is what God has in mind. But look at the ultimate, that's when Jesus will come. He said he's going to come. And when he comes, we will see him and we will be Like brethren, when I see things like this, it excites me that one day I will see Jesus face to face. And when I see him in a twinkle of an eye, I will transform into the very image of Jesus. Then the mortality will put on immortality. So my flesh will take on a new form. That is what we mean by transformation. That is the ultimate. Hallelujah. So from there, we can see three critical stages in transformational discipleship. So we can see in stage one, which is the new birth, we're talking of identity. In Matthew 11, 29, Jesus said, learn of me. He said, learn of me. So when we learn of him, say, and you will find rest for your soul. When you learn of me, you will become like me. So we want to bear the identity, we want to bear the image of Jesus. So it's a place of learning, continual learning. Learn of me, follow me, I will make you. Learn of me. And as we learn of him, it takes us to a place where we can talk of acknowledging that Christ is in you. And what that is also doing in us is that is developing competence. Remember in John 14, verse 12, the Bible says, Jesus spoke to the disciples, said, the work I do, you will do also. Greater than this you will do, because I'm going to the Father. So God is talking of the power, the ability, the skill to do. First, identity. Here we have competence, ability to do. It is after this, when we come to full age maturity, then he can release us, virtual or actual, where stage three, we begin to do the work of the master. We begin to do much more than him. That's why we talk about go and make disciples of all nations. Mark 16, 15, that we also have today in the course of the, so we can see the requirement for each stage from here. It's a response. A local church must take it up in a systematic way. We can see here we have to grow Christ-like character in stage one. In stage two, which is competence, we have to grow demonstrable skill. We have to grow skill. And then here we have to grow further here for independent pursuit of higher spiritual goal and goals you set for yourself. Or maybe you have a call of God and God now begins to say, this is what I want you to do. And you want to walk until, like Paul said, to attain the height, the very purpose. Paul said, I want to attain the very reason for which Christ has captured me, the very reason why Christ has arrested me. I want to achieve it. That's what happened here. And it's very important that we take note of that. And so we will then see that in carrying out, Chris is talking about practice now. In talking about discipleship, we must be deliberate. Again, I want to thank you, sir, Reverend Wachuku. There must be intentionality, which will accord importance to what the master regarded as very important, which are being and sending or doing. Let me talk a little bit about Mark chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says in Mark chapter 3, 14, Jesus called his follower to himself. And then he selected 12 that he designated as apostles. And what was the reason? The reason are, one, that they might be with him. And after that, he will send them out to preach. So you see that the first reason why Jesus called them is that they might be with him. Why? Again, I would like to talk about having 12 people around you. Why? You want to understand the mind of Jesus. You want to understand his vision, his mission, his purpose, until you stay with him, until you are with him. You can't get that. You can't know him. Here, he's talking about koinonia. He's talking about fellowship. He's talking about relationship. I want them to be in relationship with me. I want them to see me the way I live my life. I want them to see me what I do. I want them to see the passion of my heart. I want them to see the reason I am what I am, the reason I'm doing what I'm doing. It is after they have acquired that identity that I can then send them out to preach. So we don't do what we have to follow the pattern. In other words, koinonia precede commission. Please, koinonia, fellowship, relationship, friendship, intimacy. Hey, learning at the feet of the master precede commissioning. We have to stay with the master. Hey, first and foremost, and understand his mind, understand his vision before we can. You know, I'm studying the book of Jeremiah. He was saying that there are many prophets that will go when they have not even, I have not called them, I have not sent them, but they have sent themselves. They are speaking for me when I have not even given them any word. There are many leaders like that who have not heard from the master, but they have gone. We have to take time. So our responsibility is to make believers to be or become like Christ in lifestyle and character as much as possible. Our second responsibility is to equip them.
Oh, I'm not sure. Is it my internet?
So that they can go anywhere as impact makers, stages. So we say stage one, here we want to be like Jesus, to develop the character, to manifest the identity of Jesus. I'm sorry, translator, please just bear with me. I'll come down. I'll slow down again now. We want to be like Jesus. Lord, I want, there's a song that says, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. That is Christ-likeness. So I want to develop, I want to manifest the identity of Jesus. I want to develop the character of Jesus. That's what it means to be, being. And then I come to a point, I begin to manifest some competence because I've been able to develop some skill, character skill, character strengths. So I can see, that's when I can be sent. And then say three, when I begin to come into deeper understanding, pursue higher aspiration, or I can even set it for myself. How far I want to go with the Master Jesus. That's stage three. So we can see that these stages one and two are particularly intentional stages. If you can achieve these two stages in the life of the believers that come to us, then we can release them to go ahead to pursue higher aspiration for themselves. It's very key. It's very important. Let me move quickly because of our time. Now, so if you analyze stage one, we can see we're talking of new birth. We're talking of the point when we begin to see the nature of Jesus in them. So that's why we focus on stage one. We call this stage one because we focus on it because this is the point we really want Jesus, the character of Jesus, to be facilitated. That's the word. We facilitate the enthronement of the character of Jesus in the life of these believers that are now going to become disciples. So it seems to be the most neglected stage of the discipleship process. Why am I saying that? In Matthew 7:22-23, the Bible says, there are many who call me Lord, Lord, Lord. They only call him Lord with their mouths. But I say, I don't know you. I don't know you. He said, not all that call me Lord, Lord are actually members of my kingdom. And yet they call him Lord. But he said, I don't know them. Why? Because they were workers of iniquity. Why will it be that the person who called Jesus Lord is now a worker of iniquity? That is serious. That's a very serious state. It is very crucial for a stable and sustainable growth of subsequent stages. Is the foundation. Is the foundation. Why? Because in Luke 6:47-49, we're talking about two people that build foundation. that built the house. One laid foundation, the other one built on the sand. Of course, it's not the end of the story. So we need to build foundation. If the foundation be destroyed, there is nothing the righteous can do. So the foundation here is very key. It's very imperative. Why? Because our Lord Jesus started with developing a godly lifestyle in his disciples. In fact, the whole of Matthew 5, 6, 7 was used in imbuing, in putting, in developing in this follower of his, the characteristic of his. So must we. So we must do same thing. I think also. So that's why, if you look at here, we're looking at how we can compare both natural and spiritual growth. And that's what it's been. As a child be born, and all those things, and my time is fast spent. So we cannot. So these are the things we need to understand in being in the practical, in the practice of transmissional discipleship. We need to look at the natural growth and spiritual growth. As a child be born, yes. Here, what is the spiritual need? We need to ascertain the newness of the born again claim. In other words, how can one become born again? So what do we start feeding the new child with? A three-day-old child, we can't give such a child apple or amala in our own palace here. I don't know, or papa in South Africa. Those hard times, you can't. So what is the first spiritual food for the newly born again? No, these are the challenges. These are the things we must put in place. That's when we begin to talk of what are those things that must constitute my disruption package. But the time is not. So that is why we come to this point, we begin to look at, okay, let's talk about the new birth. Even though people claim to be born again, let's look again, what constitutes a new birth? Let's look at what makes a person who used to be a sinner to now have assurance of salvation. So from the point I begin to sin, to the point I say I'm turning my back to sin, I want to be so sure that I'm safe. What constitutes this program? That's the new birth. Now that I'm born again, what are the things that I need to do to facilitate my spiritual growth? Because as a newborn babe, I can only take milk. As a new baby can only take milk. What are those things that constitute milk? We see it in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 to 2. Then in a place where an individual grows up, there's something that is peculiar. There are some habits that are very common in that place. Here in Titus chapter 1, Paul was telling Titus that the Cretans, even one of the prophets said something about the Cretans, they are very brutish, they are wicked, they are lazy, they are gluttons. Can you imagine? These are Christians, but these are the habits that are very peculiar to them. You see that where we live, there are things that are peculiar. Just a newborn babe, we need to give them vaccine, isn't it? We immunize them against deadly diseases like polio. So the same thing we must try to do in the spiritual newborn babies. Then we must also make effort to make them to grow spiritually. In Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, we saw that the apostles, after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls were won, Bible says, this one, they joined the apostles. Bible said they follow the apostles' teaching. Apostles' teaching. So we began to see what constitutes the apostles' teaching. They are all there, if you look at it. And then Peter, by the grace of God, then he come to know that apart from this preliminary spiritual growth, there are things we need to grow. Our love is the ultimate, to now become like Jesus. So what are those things? In 2 Peter chapter 2, 5 to 17, he talked about faith, virtue, and all those things. He said, when these things develop in us, it's ensured that an entrance into the kingdom of God is open, that we will never be barren. We will never be barren. But he who lacks this thing is short-sighted. So we need to know what these things are. And then features, after this thing has come into us, what are the features of spiritual maturity? He talked about unity of the faith, then not being tossed to and fro, having the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, all these things are there. When we have all these things, when we put all these things packaged together and begin to encourage our people to put this into use, begin to see it manifested in the life of our people. And so I think this will be the last slide. So that is why we must make efforts to make sure that we develop content for stage one. So once the people have developed, they have developed that attribute, that acknowledgeable level of Christ-likeness, then we can see that they can now begin to go to next stage, stage two, when we are intentional, then they become like Christ. Before we get begin to encourage them to go to stage three, when they begin to pursue the very nature, begin to pursue the mandate, the purpose of God concerning them. You know, Jeremiah was, in Jeremiah 29:11, God was saying to the people of Israel, say, I know the thought I have for you. I know the plan I have for you. And it is to give you an expected end, is to make you to be what I have in mind. But then you must come to me. We must come to me, and then you will pray unto me, and then I will hear you. I will answer you. I will reveal to you. He said, call unto me. I will answer you. I will show you great things that you do not know. Here is, we're saying that when we come to Jesus, when we come to the Lord, when we walk in the Lord, in the lights of his word, oh, what a glory he shed on our life. And that's why I thank God for money. You know the mantra in money, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord so fill the earth, even as water covers the sea. So the knowledge of the word of God, the knowledge of the glory of God must be something we pursue with passion until we can see our people bearing the image of Jesus, carrying the glory of Jesus, carry the vision of Jesus. We must be deliberate. We must be intentional. And as we do that, you see changes taking place in the lives of people. May God bless the Church of God. May God bless Africa. May God bless money. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much.